At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Reddick.
And Alvarez clocks one deep left field. Where it goes back at the wall. It's out of here. Francisco Alvarez ties the game with a two-run homer. His first City Field home run of the season, a two-run shot in his second game back from the minors, and Alvarez is back with a bang.
There you go, Francisco Alvarez. Game-tying home run, Gary Cohen with the home run call. The New York Mets hanging in there in a wild National League East. Yeah, only a half game back still. The Phillies win again. The Mets win again. There you go. Thank you to Francisco Alvarez, not only for the home run, but for the good vibes for the New York Mets. Speaking of good vibes, we have a podcast full of good vibes today. Full of them. We have two inspirational stories. One from a guy who has been on the podcast many times, but has once again made its mark, Rich Hill. And the other from a guy who is making his first time on the podcast, and that's Otto Kemp of the Philadelphia Phillies. Two inspirational stories. There's not even a question. It's a fact. Well, speaking of Hill, in case you missed it, he has re-entered the major leagues, playing for his major league tying 14th team. That's a lot of equipment bags. As he said, he wants to put all the equipment bags in a yard sale in his front yard. Well, he's got one more, Kansas City Royals. He pitched for the Kansas City Royals at the place where he started it all, back at Wrigley Field, and he did very, very well. Did 5 innings, 1 earned run. The Royals lose, but still, 5 innings, 1 earned run. Really, really good. Not bad. Rich Hill becomes the first major leaguer to pitch as old as 45 since J.B. Moyer did in 2012. J.B. Moyer was 49 years, 191 days old. That's kind of crazy. Almost forget like how old he was, but he was old, relatively speaking, a young man in real life, but still old in baseball life. So Rich Hill, he's 45, so he becomes the oldest guy since J.B. Moyer. All right, well, I'm sure we'll have Rich on the podcast at some point, but before we get to Philadelphia Phillies inspirational story that is Otto Kemp, I want to give you someone who played with Rich last year just to give sort of the what's what when it comes to why the Royals might be bringing in Rich, not only to pitch well, but also to have an impact on that entire team. I sat down with Brennan Bernardino of the Red Sox, who played with him last year, and you just listen to Brennan talk about Rich and you get an idea of why it's important sometimes to bring a guy like Rich around during a season, no matter if you're in it, if you're out of it, whatever it is, to be around guys to set the foundation for future wins. All right, here's Brennan Bernardino talking about Rich Hill. There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Brennan Bernardino. And there's plenty of things to talk about. Congratulations on a great season so far. But I want to talk to you about a guy who we both know, Rich Hill, who's back in the major leagues. I know him from a million different ways, but you know him from being around him and seeing him, and which I think is a valuable perspective. So what was your takeaway from being around Rich?
I would say his leadership qualities, right? Being willing and wanting to share information. And I mean, me as a lefty, you know, this guy's like my hero, right? He's 45 now, mm-hmm. and he's back in the big leagues again. He knows how to get outs. He's not a hard-throwing lefty, but he mixes his pitch as well. He spins it. attacks hitters with a heater. The guy's just, it's just a professional pitcher, man. It's really
good. So when you, it's a good perspective also because, like you said, he's a lefty.
Yeah.
So you see how he goes about it. So when you see him, whether it's warming up in the bullpen, spring training, whatever it was, or actually the four outings he had with the Red Sox last year, what were sort of the things that he was bobbing and weaving, which you're like, oh man, I didn't realize that, or I didn't know that, or that's interesting.
Well, I would think just his perspective. Like, I, fortunate enough, I asked him a couple questions when we were together for those couple weeks, and then watching him pitch and watching how he was moving the ball around, his angles on his breaking ball. Like, I feel like he had like multiple breaking balls. Like, just watching, he knew what the hitters were looking for, and he knew how to. He was playing chess while everyone else was playing checkers. So I don't know, man. I watch him pitch, and I think some people will watch him pitch, but how does he get outs? Well, it's because he knows exactly, you know, how to get a hitter off balance. He knows how to change speeds, change locations, arm angles, everything they're seeing. He's Rich Hill, man.
But you know, but he's, and listen, I mean, we've talked a million times with Rich about, hey, that this is an example of, sure, velocity is great, sure, physical ability is great, sure, stuff is great, but being able to do all the things that you're talking about, pitchability and understanding how to manage a game, when to throw a pitch, all of that, like that, he's an extreme of that, I get it, because he doesn't have the stuff, like half the stuff of most guys, but still, it is a good reminder, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's not that he doesn't have stuff. Like, okay, he doesn't
have stuff. I
know what you're saying. Yeah, I just want people listening to this to know. Yeah. Velocity is important. It's very important. But it's not everything. And Rich proves that, like, okay, although it may be, you know, 88, whatever it may be, 90, he spins it well. And he plays off his breaking ball. And then he can slow you down. And that 88 with a high spin rate plays, and they're late on it. And the movement on his breaking ball is nasty, and it's tightly spun, so it's not loopy. It's like, it looks like a heater, and then bam. He's my hero. I want to play at 45 like he's
the Do you?
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, this is also another good inspiration, right?
Yeah.
He's a Tom Brady of a baseball player.
Tom Brady of baseball players, the personality, the character, high character. That guy's... Any team that has him in their clubhouse is better because of it.
Okay, I'm going to remember this when, and I'm going to be interviewing someone about all the things that Brennan Bernardino taught them when you're pitching at 45.
Yeah, I may not hit free agency till I'm 45, man, so I have to play that one.
There you go. Hey, goals. All right, thanks. He's Rich Hill. There you go. All right, well, another inspirational story is a guy who I hadn't talked to before, and that's Otto Kemp. He's obviously playing third base for the Philadelphia Phillies, the red-hot Philadelphia Phillies. Alec Bohm is out, so Otto Kemp gets his chance. And anytime we get a chance to talk to a guy who wasn't drafted, we do it. Casey Lawrence, for instance, he came on the podcast after not being drafted. Great story. Otto Kemp, not drafted, 2022, great story. 25 years old. He went to Division II Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego. And when you hear him talk about his experience of not being drafted, it's going to hit. Because, oh my goodness, we just went through the draft, and I'm sure that there's, I don't know if there's a similar story, but guys who thought they were going to get drafted higher, thought they were going to get drafted, and it didn't happen. Well, here's the hope. Here's the inspiration. Otto Kemp. So Otto's been playing third base for the Philadelphia Phillies and doing a pretty good job of it. Right now, you know, he's got an OPS of over 700. And also another thing that Otto does outstanding, and he did it once again on Tuesday night, he gets hit by pitches like crazy. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize this. We didn't really talk too much about being hit by pitches. But last year in the minor leagues, he was hit 29 times. But that's, you know, that's a side note. Because what we're focusing on with Otto is that a guy who wasn't drafted out of a Division II, signs out of Division II college, and then fights his way through the minor leagues, and then boom, lands in the major leagues for a really good team at a really important position at a really important time of the year. All right, I really enjoyed talking to Otto. I really enjoy doing this podcast, and thanks so much to our guy, producer Evan, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. All right, here you go. Here's Otto Kemp. All right, there's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Otto. So I appreciate you taking the time. We've talked to some other people who haven't been drafted, and this is like one of my favorite stories, right? Because how many rounds were in the draft? There were 20.
20, yeah.
Okay. All right. So can you talk about that day, first of all, because for everybody it's different.
For sure.
What was that day like for you?
Yeah, so coming into the draft, the word on the street was like kind of expect day two, possible day two, maybe early day three, which day two was, I was expecting kind of rounds like anywhere from 5-6 to 15 to 20, really, 5 to 20, call it. So my whole family was there. I'm the youngest of four. So they all flew in, and they were all hanging out. We were all hanging out at the house. And I'll remember those 2 days, really, where we all were just kind of lounging around the house for those 2 days. They took work off. We were all just hanging out and waiting, honestly, for the name to get called. So.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you? We were all waiting around the house, and day one rolls by. We're watching every pick that goes by. So I get a call after day two. It's like, okay, I had my agent. He was like, hang on, we might have something for you lined up for tomorrow. We'll see. Get a couple calls from a couple different scouts, and I didn't really know how everything works. So like, I knew the scouts had a little bit of a say, but didn't know the process that I had to go through in order for them to establish like that's our pick. So you get a call from a Giants scout, says like, hey, we're gonna try and get you in the 12th tomorrow. Just kind of, hopefully we can do that, hopefully you can pull the trigger on it, we'll see, we'll keep you in the loop. Never heard anything after that. And then 18 rolls around, Blue Jays were like, we might pick you in the 18th. Yankees, same thing, 18, nothing happened. And so then we obviously 20 goes, and we're like, man, that's brutal. That's like
like more of a painful story than I even anticipated.
Yeah, it was not the funnest of days. So we'll put funnest of 2 days, 3 days. So then my mind immediately went to, well, now that this is kind of a wash, we're gonna have to figure out what the next couple of years look like. I had two more years left to play, so I was like, I could just go get I graduated, so I could go get my master's right now and go find somewhere else to play. And clearly, since I did this at Point Loma, I put up these numbers at Point Loma, and it didn't work, I'm gonna have to go try out somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, and see if we can slide in to get an opportunity in pro ball. So that's kind of where my mind shifted, and that's how those first 3 days played out after the draft. But
so what happens then?
So then I went down. I was getting a bunch of my stuff from Point Loma out of my locker, because I didn't know what was going to happen, honestly. So I was just kind of having my stuff ready. And then I got a call when I was down there from the Philly scout that said, hey, we want to offer you a free agent contract. And it's like, shoot.
Was it a no-brainer for you? Like, because again, you can spin the wheel, right?
Yeah. To me, it was just like I wanted an opportunity.
Yeah, you just want to play.
I just want to get in there. Everybody had talked about once you're in, you know. So that was kind of, for me, it was like, all right, well, let's just take this and show everybody, just show up and do the same thing we've been doing and just work your butt off and see what happens.
So. Well, that's the thing, is that when you get there, everybody, you can prove like, hey, this guy's good and this guy's better than that guy,
sure.
Right out of the gate. So there's that, which I'm sure you did. I mean, probably when you first got there, like, okay, I can hang with these guys, right?
I mean, it was a little bit yes and no. Like, I was showing up with a bunch of guys that played at some of the best colleges in the nation. So I think there's a little bit of that intimidation and not really knowing like how we're all going to stack up against each other. But I had obviously heard from a lot of people like, you belong there, but it takes yourself a little bit of time to really latch onto that. And I wouldn't say I really even felt that until my second year. I would say I really felt it once I was
not until you went through the first year.
Went through that first like draft. I was still rehabbing my hamate. Got back in. Didn't feel awesome when I was playing for those first like 15 games. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, now I know what to kind of work on going into the off season. So then show up the next year and it was like, all right, this is like, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I feel like I belong here. So it took a little while, mm-hmm. honestly. And that's kind of one of the biggest things for me that I feel like I've had to catch up on is the knowing that I belong here. And that's a just coming from where I came from in mm-hmm. Division II, you don't get to face the highly touted prospects where you do in some Division I. So, and obviously there's a big stigma between the two.
Oh, divisions. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're kind of more so mentally grasping at like what everybody has said over your whole life. Like everybody makes a huge difference between the two levels where at the end of the day, it's still the same baseball, you know? Mm-hmm. And it took me a little while to realize that, honestly.
This is a cliche question, but was there a moment or something somebody said that sort of hit for you? It's because sometimes guys, even guys who switch teams in the major leagues, they don't feel like they truly belong or are accepted until maybe they have that moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was just a gradual thing.
I wouldn't say I necessarily had a moment, but I would say every single level that I got to had its own challenge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even from literally from low A all the way up to the big leagues, every single level was like you're filtering more and more. You're getting to play against the guys that you hear about a lot and mm-hmm. the guys that you've seen and whatnot. So I would say just the competition rises, and so your mentality kind of has to get sharper and sharper and yeah. sharper too. So I would say like every level was like kind of sharpening that knife to get to this point where it's like, I wouldn't say I had that like, aha, I got it, you know, now we go, you know. It's just been kind of a gradual getting better as we go.
I love I've been citing this quote from Cooper Flagg, the draftee from the number one draft pick. His mom said, if you're the best player in the gym, then you'll find in a different gym.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, I mean, but that's like, and I know that to be true in basketball, yeah. but we forget that's in baseball too, right?
Absolutely. I think I had to go through that at every single level that you go through. The competition just gets better and better. So I think I think last year I in the fall league, I had a lot of success there, and it was like, okay, that was the moment where I was like, all right, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I really accepted that.
Because that's the best of the best. Like, for, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best of the best. So, I mean, if I can compete there and I can have success there, where I can do it in the big leagues too. I just got to believe in that.
See, another common thing, well, so there's that. There's like once you get there, you can prove yourself. But also there's the roster manipulation from teams. And I've talked to plenty of guys, whether they're like really low draft picks or undrafted. The problem is that when they're looking to like basically figure out a roster spot, mm-hmm. they're not going to take the first or second round pick mm-hmm. because that's their first or second round pick. Mm-hmm. That makes the organization looks bad.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you have to fight through, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, I don't know if you experienced that at all. And yeah, it's not like to put down anybody who was a first or second round pick.
I think. Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a little bit of that to it. But also, for me, I've kind of just learned that you can only do what, like, you can only control your 3 feet that you mm-hmm. That you have. So, like, at the end of the day, someone may get a little bit more opportunity than you, and that may be what it is for that given point in time, but you got to stay ready for when your name does get called. And I feel like for me, luckily, I was fortunate enough to play a lot, honestly. They saw something in me from the beginning when I got there, and they let me play through mm-hmm. it and develop and obviously eventually get to this point and hopefully keep going from here. But I think there still is a lot of that, but I think if you attack the game the right way and you control what you can control, I think people see that stuff.
Yeah, conversely, Matt McClain, somebody said, like, what, because he fell in the first round. He's like, when the pitcher sees whoever's in the batter's box, they're not like saying, oh, well, that guy was drafted 15 low
yeah, spots. Absolutely. I think once you get there, you kind of forget about it a little bit. Like, once we showed up, it was like, I'm in the same groups as Crawford. Like, it's not, and I'm, if you put it on a list, I'm lower on the list than Craw is the top of the top,
yeah.
and we're still in the same spot. You know what I mean? So what's the big deal? You know what I mean? that was kind of my mentality of like, I'm with these guys. I have the same opportunity that these guys have. Maybe there is a longer leash down the road. Maybe there isn't. Who knows? But at the same time, you've earned the right to be where you are.
So, so the last thing is, so did you talk about going to each level and just figuring it out. You get there, you figure it out, you perform. You get there, you figure it out, you perform. All right, now you're at the top level. Has now that you've been here a little bit, has that sort of dynamic just sort of clicked in for you?
I would say it's getting there. I would say that it's the same thing as what I've been doing in the last couple levels. I think even last year I got up to AAA at the end of the year and didn't do well at all. And then come back this year and it's like, it's there, you know? We kind of lit AAA up. So it was like just waiting for that moment to, I'm a believer that this game is always teaching you. And I think once you stop trying to learn is when you start, when you get kicked out of this game. So trying to continually learn here and not put pressure on myself to
it's hard, man.
It's like hard. Just kind of letting the game teach you as you go. So I feel like I'm really involved in that process right now and just kind of trying to soak everything in, like slowing the game down and trying to learn how to become I mean, the guys up here have been playing in the big leagues for a long time. They're really polished. Yeah. So, and it takes a lot of reps and a lot of games to get polished in certain aspects. So I'm kind of just taking these learning curves as we go and making make a mistake. Okay, how do we learn from it? Let's address it tomorrow. Let's address it going forward, and then it'll work itself out.
Boy, man, so, what a place to learn. What a classroom. You cross home plate and the walk-offs and you know, things like that.
And it can be a hard environment to learn because there's...
The third deck is different.
Yeah, it's and there's a lot of noise. You got to be okay with failure. You got to be able to handle it. So I would say every single level to get to this point has taught me how to do that. So I would say that this is like we're getting there. We're not there. We're not where I'm not where I want to be yet. I don't know if I'll ever be where I want to necessarily be, but that's a good thing because it keeps me hungry.
You're pretty good. You're getting a pretty good point. I feel like I should ask you that because we ask this of everybody or most everybody. Why isn't baseball boring? Because I feel like you have a good answer for it because I think you like baseball.
Yeah, right? I mean, honestly,
there's no wrong. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah. Why is baseball can be boring on a day to day? There's a big button here, but I would say it's taught me more about life than I've. Anything really has up to this point. So to have success in this game over a long term, a long career, we'll go from a year to a long career, like you're going to learn a lot as long as you're open to learning a lot. So the game teaches you a lot about yourself. The best people in this game are the ones that know how to ground themselves the most, how to stay calm in when there's 45,000 people on their feet. So you're the man in the arena, and if you can control that, then what can't you control? So and if you can deal with failure on this big of a scale, if you can deal with success and not let it get to your head, there's just so many things that this game has the opportunity to teach you. You just got to let it teach you.
That's a good one, man. You earned a t-shirt. How do you get your middle name, by the way?
It's a family name.
All right. I have Farnsworth as my middle name. Okay. So yeah, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.